Blog Talk Radio.
Probably say, I wish it was this warm. But, you know, my body's just not used to getting cold that quickly. I had to actually put the heat on in my house. I don't have to put the heat on in my house yet. It's all not even the end of October yet. It's almost the end, but not. But anyway, so, hopefully I got a good show tonight. Hopefully everybody will call in. And what I got for you guys tonight. Well, let's see. Well, there's an Israeli film festival that's coming up here in New York City. They're celebrating the Israel's 60th birthday. Happy birthday to you. And I don't know how to sing happy birthday in Hebrew. So, happy birthday to you. Oh, no, that's no good. Hey, who cares? They'll have a good birthday anyway. So we're going to have, and I'm not sure what his position, but I think he's the president of the Israeli Festival. I'm not sure. We'll find out. His name is Meir Fenigstein, or Steen, and he'll be talking with us about the film festival. Then we're going to talk about food. Yes. Food time. Barbara, be prepared, Barbara, because at 7:30, I have Wilhelmina Prego, a.k.a. Mina, who's going to talk with us about Filipino cuisine. Yes, and her new restaurant called Mama Mina's. It's own cuisine, absolutely its own cuisine. So that's why I want to have her talk about this. Anytime I've ever had, like, Filipino food, it was like something at a street fair, and it was always the same thing, some little noodle dish and some what looks like the leg rolls. And I thought, well, I don't know how that's any different from Chinese food, but as it turns out, it's not. That influences are from all kinds of food, and believe me, it's its own cuisine. So anyway, we'll have that talked about. Hopefully, I got one other person calling in. Well, I want to talk about this thing. It's a therapy light for people who suffer from sad. You know, it's like these kind of days when it's dark. It's dark early. Don't we have to do something with the clock soon or something? Spring or fall backwards or something? Well, that's horrible. Then that would be, it's 7 o'clock now and it's dark. It would be 6 o'clock and dark. Oh, I'll be sad a lot. Well, supposed to take care of not just your depression, but somehow weight loss as well. Oh, we'll see about that. The reason they say weight loss is because if you're not depressed, you won't eat. I don't know. I just eat out of just to eat. Yesterday, while I'm waiting for mayor, Meyer, his name, I guess, to call in. I'll tell you that yesterday I went to see Spring Awakening. Now, I saw it before, and I was curious to see if it would be different with a completely new cast. That's why, you know, why I went to see it. It's kind of odd because I'm kind of looking at it, what if you didn't see it before, you know? And the only thing, I guess, my comment is, given, like, if they had to go back to the other cast, is I like the leading guy from the original cast more than this guy. I think that was about it. But the show itself is wonderful. It's one of my favorite shows on Broadway. Like, when people come here and say, you know, what shows should I see, I'll direct them to Spring Awakening. Depends on who is asking. I mean, this is not rated G at all. There's some nudity. You see some guy's ass. There's adult language. A couple of times the word shit is used. And there's a song called, I think it's called All Fucked Up or something like that. It's called You're Fucked. That's it. That's the name of the song. So, because, you know, that. And there's also whatever. So, there's a scene, there's a copulation scene. That's where you see, like, the guy's ass, and I guess you kind of presume that he's copulating. It looks like it, but I, you know, doubt very highly that it's truly happening. And then there's a scene, and this one I'm not sure of in terms of the change. The show, by the way, it's about teenagers, high school. High school teenagers and the coming of age and sex. I'll go back to it a little later on. But what I want to do right now, I think we got... Do I have Mayor on the line?
Yes.
Ah, how are you?
Oh, hi. Very good. How are you?
Fine.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you're on the air now.
Oh, hi to everyone.
So, by the way, are you talking directly into your phone?
Yes. Can you hear me well? I hear some feedback. I'll call back.
No, I didn't want him to call back. You don't have to call back. That's I thought my phone. You don't call back. Are you there? He's going to call back. Are you there? You're on the air. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Absolutely. Very clear.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, barely. I barely hear you.
What about now?
No.
You don't hear me well?
No, I hear very, very little. Are you on a cell phone?
I'm right now on a cell phone, yeah.
So I don't suppose you can get to a land phone, can you?
I am. Would you like to call me?
Oh, no, I can't. It doesn't work that way. I don't get to call you.
I'm calling you again from a landline.
Huh?
I'm going to call you back.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Well, I don't know what kind of phone he was on. Then I just saw another caller. I wonder who the other caller was. I saw a 213 area code calling in.
but I don't know. I wasn't able to hear what he said. Hopefully, we could try this again. Anyway, to get back to the show. So, with the coming of age and no pun intended, yes, of sexuality. So there's also to guys that fall in love, to, I guess, to high school guys that, no, they have a crush on each other, and there's a kissing scene. And I seem to remember, but I guess I'll have to look at the script, that when I saw originally that the two guys, it was, what's the word? In other words, you knew, but nothing was done. Well, let's get back. Let's try again. Okay. You're on the air.
Hi.
Can now
you
that's
hear me?
Much. That's much better.
Great. How are
Mazel
you?
Tov.
Thank you.
So, okay. Tell everybody, tell the audience, my listeners, who you are in terms of the Israeli festival.
The Israeli Film Festival.
Film Festival, right.
Yeah, my name is Meir Fenigstein. I'm the founder and executive director. This is our 23rd year in New York. The festival will open on October 29, on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, at 7:30 at the Ziegfeld Theater. We are honoring three Hollywood luminaries, Danny DeVito, Erwin Winkler, and Ed Zwick. We have very exciting presenters from Michael Douglas, Mort Zuckerman, and Liv Schreiber. We're going to show the U.S. premiere of Lost Island, directed by Reshef Levy. It's on 14 Academy Award nominees and on four Israeli Academy Award nominees, I have to mention. We're going to show some other great Israeli films, including Secrets, Out of the Blue, Like My Father, The Debt, Restless, Altalena, and many more. We have about 11 feature films. Most of them are U.S. premieres. We're showing about 13 documentaries. One of them, Children of the Sun. It's the Israeli Academy Award film 2008. And we have about close to 20 Israeli filmmakers coming from Israel on Wednesday, and will conduct Q&A with the audience following the screening in the first week of the festival. All screenings are taking place at Clearview, 62nd and Broadway, in 62nd and Broadway. And that's
is that across, right across from Lincoln Center?
No, it's right in Lincoln Plaza Theaters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's right across the Lincoln Plaza Theaters. And it's going to be a very exciting festival. As it was last year, we had 26 or 7 sold-out screenings. So we hope that the audience will not wait for the last minute to buy tickets. They can go into our website, and it's www.israelfilmfestival.com. I will repeat, www.israelfilmfestival.com. And they can buy tickets in groups or individuals and really enjoy a very wonderful festival this year with great movies.
Well, first let me ask you, before I ask you like how you got involved, I just want, is this festival only done in New York?
No, we had a festival already in Los Angeles in June. This was the beginning, the first one. And we honored there at the Beverly Hilton Kirk Douglas and Rob Reiner and Carl Reiner, Jeff Berg, the chairman of ICM. It's one of the biggest talent agencies, and Menachem Golan, one of the founders of the Israeli film industry. And it was a wonderful dinner. And we showed, in Los Angeles, we showed a little bit more films because we did kind of a retrospective of the best of the Israeli film industry in the past 60 years. We cannot do it in New York because we have just one theater. We have three theaters in Los Angeles. Mm. But we have a one day that we're doing a tribute to Israel's 60th anniversary, kind of a selection of historical films on Wednesday, November 5th. From 1 o'clock, we're going to show the true story of Palestine. At 3 o'clock, we're going to show Ben-Gurion Remembers. At 5:15, Homeland and Children of the Sun. One is a TV drama and one is a documentary, both wonderful film. At 7:30, Altalena, a story that struck Israel right in the beginning. And 9:45, we're going to show Little Traitor. And Lynn Roth will be there to conduct the Q&A, the director. And basically in the first week, almost every screening we have a filmmaker. We have also, by surprise, one of our Lifetime Achievement Award honorees last year, Gila Almagor, the first lady of the Israeli cinema, will also join us in the first screening of the festival that is sponsored by Dor Hadash. It's an American-Jewish-Israeli organization. Most of the tickets are already sold out, but if somebody is involved with Dor Hadash, they can contact them through the web and buy tickets. I think there are very few left, but they were surprised that Gila will be there, and I was surprised too, because we honored her last year. And she is, as I said, the first lady of the Israeli cinema. And I think it will be very exciting to have her with the director also in this screening of the Death on a Thursday at 7:30 at Clearview Cinemas on 62nd and Broadway.
Now, last year the subject had to do with Italy. About Jews in Italy. Last year? Does this year's, is there something that centers on this particular Israeli film festival?
As I said, I mean, this year we are kind of concentrating a little bit of Israel's 60th anniversary, and we're showing a few retrospective films and films that are dealing with even the new films, but they have kind of a historical pan in their stories. So that's where the films, and, you know, we have some kids' films about kids and family film. We have Eli and Ben. It's a new film. It just had its world premiere at the Haifa International Film Festival. It just ended 2 days ago. And the director will be. It's a great family film, and I will really recommend the parents to bring their kids and the teenagers to see this film. We have another film called For My Father, and this is another name to it. It's Father's Footsteps, and this is also, it's a French film. It's an Israeli director, but it's about a French family that are going, an Israeli film that's going back to France in right before the Yom Kippur War, and their kids, and this interesting story there. Father and Son, Amos Kollek's film, Restless, about a father, an Israeli that lives in New York, and his son is in the army, and their relationship. So we have some interesting films, and, you know, people can go into our website, again, www.israelfilmfestival.com, and just view all the films. They have descriptions there. All the films are in English with subtitles. So, just come and enjoy the best what Israel can offer in the powerful media of film.
Well, let me get to you yourself. How did you get involved with this, and how long have you been involved since the beginning?
Yeah, I kind of started it about 20, almost 24 years ago. My background is a little bit different. I was in the entertainment, but I was a drummer in a rock band called Kaveret, K-A-V-E-R-E-T. or Poogie, P-O-O-G-Y. That's also my nickname. And Poo Kaveret was kind of the Beatles of Israel. That's the most famous Israeli rock band. And I've been there for 3.5 years. We created this group. The leader of the group was Dennis Sanderson. He created this group right after the army. We served together at the Nahal Entertainment Group. For 3.5 years, I was a drummer in an army entertainment group. And we are five guys came out of the Nahal and created this rock band that was extremely successful at that time. We served during the Yom Kippur War from 73 to 76. And we performed in the Eurovision Song Contest with ABBA and Olivia Newton-John. ABBA came to the first place, Olivia Newton-John second place. We were in the sixth place. But we represent Israel at that time. And then I came to the United States after the band disbanded to study music. With a little bit before that, I acted in a couple of movies in the Jerusalem Theater. But I came to study music, and after a year or two, I decided that I need some change from the music. But I wanted to stay in the entertainment. So this is what came up.
Oh, great. That
idea, and I'm sustaining with it for already 24 years.
Wow.
It's not so easy.
I bet.
Yeah, it's not so easy to sustain with something that is like once a year. Or, you know, right now we're doing three festivals, one in Los Angeles, one in New York, and one in Miami. In Miami, we're opening on the 9th at the Colony Theater in Lincoln Road, and we'll run the festival at in North Miami Beach at the what's the name of the theater? Intercostal Cinema in 163rd Street. This is for people that traveling between Miami and New York that want to come also to Miami when it gets a little bit colder in New York. Right?
Yeah. Quite. I don't know. Well, it's interesting because it's not, you know, if it was the winter time, mm-hmm. I would probably say, oh, it's not cold. But, you know, the temperature dropped so fiercely that now, you know, I don't think our bodies, you know, got used to it. So,
right.
I have friends that live in South Beach, and they're probably happy that they moved from New York.
I'm sure.
But now I'm curious, like, just to get like a sense of, I mean, I assume that with the films, there's competition, isn't there? Before that, people are submitting their films for the.
Yeah, when they submit. We don't have such a big competition in the feature of films because Israel is producing about approximately 15 to 18 films a year, feature
right.
films. And we're showing about 11, so, you know. It's
oh, that's good.
Yeah, there's not such a big competition. In the documentary category, yeah, there is a competition because Israel is producing about 60, 70 films a year. You know, it's a lot of films. And we have to pick and choose. So we try to pick the best one that we can. We also have an homage that we're giving the Hyman brothers, Tomer and Barak Hyman. And we're showing four of their films. One is Dancing Alfonso. And we have Out of Focus. It's a U.S. premiere. It's about dancing. And Oad Naharin, famous choreographer in Israel. And Bridge Over the Vadi, and it kind of scares me. Four films that we're showing next week on Friday at 1 o'clock and at 4 o'clock at the theater in Clearview 62nd and Broadway.
Now, are all the films in Hebrew and then we see the subtitles?
Subtitles, yeah.
Okay. And
some of them also, we have one in French, as I mentioned, and we have in English, like Restless is mostly in English. Little Trader is also mostly in English with Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
So some films are, you know, English. Some films are in Hebrew. Most of them are in Hebrew with English subtitles.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. By the way, I'll see you. I think it's on Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah.
That's
the
opening.
Yeah.
I'll be there. And then I guess I'm going to, we're partying afterwards, I believe, we're having a party afterwards, reception?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reception after that, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be
people can buy also tickets just for the screening and the presentation for $36.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tickets
for the opening is $125, but again, just the theater is major, big, and we have a limited of tickets for the Ziegfeld that they can buy tickets. They should call us on the phone and buy tickets from us. And I'll leave you the number. It's 1-877-966-5566. Should I repeat it?
Sure.
1-877-966-5566. And our website is www.israelfilmfestival.com.
Great. Now, are there, like, any people you want to mention that have, like, also been with the festival for as long as you have, or?
People that were involved in the festival, that we honored, I mean.
No, not ones that have honored. I mean, like, who have been helping you run this film festival. Have there been people that have been around as long, you know, have been with you for, like, 23 years of doing it?
No, I don't have so many. No, people, you know, people come and go.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to sustain one thing for so many years. I had people that stayed with me for 11 years, the program director, Paul Fagan, but now he moved on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had Arnold Milchin, that is our co-chair of the festival, and Avi Lerner is our chairman, and Danny Dimbord. And Amy Pascal is also co-chair of the festival, the co-chair of Sony Picture Entertainment. So we have people that are supporting us, and we have a lot of sponsors that are supporting us. We're going to serve limoncello in the opening night. It's a product that Danny DeVito is very proud of, and he's part of it, that become kosher. It's liquor, and we're going to serve a limoncello.
Everybody should come and drink.
Have you drank limoncello?
I was on a press trip to Italy in May,
yeah.
And we went to Sorrento, and
right.
In Sorrento, and I don't remember the man's name, but he made limoncello.
Uh-huh.
So we got not only to see how it was made, we went to his orchard too,
right,
to see the lemons, and that was so great.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
This
I have something to talk to Danny about.
Yeah. Well, how was your limoncello? I just drank a limoncello.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice flavor. It's
yeah.
Good. I'm looking forward to meeting you. I'm looking forward to being at the film festival too.
And
you know that I live in Queens, by the way, and I don't know if you know that the. And I don't know what you want to call it. It's not a treaty. When Israel became a state, what is it that they signed? Not a pact, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the UN?
Well, it wasn't actually done in the UN because the UN wasn't built yet. So it was actually done Flushing Meadow Corona Park.
Okay.
Which is what now is the Queens Museum, and it was actually that's where it was done. So it was actually signed in Queens.
Don't tell me that you were there.
No.
I was there when they signed it. And
were
I'm
you there?
Now. What?
Were you there?
No.
Nah.
How can I be? I was born.
You can't. That's impossible.
Some people were there, maybe. They're still alive.
Oh, I'm. That was 1948, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's because people could still be alive. That's true. But anyway, well, I thank you Rena, so much for coming on and telling us about the festival. And as I said, I'll be there. And then what I'll probably do, well, next Thursday when I'm on the air, I'll talk about, you know, the opening and meeting you and et cetera, et cetera. How's that? And I can promote it a little more, too.
Please.
Okay.
Please. You can call me on my cell and I'll tell you everything what went through, too, if you want.
Oh, okay.
You
yeah.
have my cell number? I'm not going to give it right, so everybody will have it, too.
Well, I see it on my switchboard. Okay. So I'll know how to call you then.
Okay, thank you so much, and I hope that all your audience will come and support the Israeli film industry and Israeli filmmakers, and we hope to see them from October 30th at Clearview 62nd and Broadway through November 13th.
Great.
And they can call. I can give you also the number to call the theater to
mm-hmm.
buy tickets from there, too. They can buy directly from the theater. Right now we're selling advanced tickets. It's 212-265-7655. It's the Clearview Cinema on 62nd and Broadway, 212-265-7655.
Great.
Okay?
Yes.
Thank you so much, and hope to see all of you at the festival.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, you too. Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So, yeah, I'll tell everybody, I'll clue everybody in next week after I go to this, to the opening on Wednesday. Isn't that cool? I get to go in the opening. Get to be a VIP. Yeah. Anyway, while I'm sorry, I have. Now, I just want to let people know, I mean, you know, like, I'm in New York. I realize that. Not everybody's, you know, listening that's in New York. But if anyone is a chocoholic, next month, I think it's, you don't have the dates in front of me. Let's see, from the 7th to the 9th. 7th, 8th, 9th. Yes, 7th to the 9th is the Chocolate Show in New York City. Yes, the Chocolate Show. Oh, wow. I mean, you can't imagine. All kinds of chocolate and from all over the place. It's totally outrageous. Totally. And so if anybody wants to get here, but to and the only thing I'm not happy about, I understand that Fairy Tale Brownies is not going to, well, they'll sponsor, but they're not going to have their breakfast, which, God, I don't know. That's, speaking of Fairy Tale Brownies, you know, well, I'm sorry I got to do this, but, you know, just wait, Barbara, just wait until we start really talking about food. Come on. Click on. Oh, yeah. Let's go with this thing here. Oh, come on, come on. And I'm clicking and things aren't happening. It's waiting for Godot. All right, while I'm doing this here. Oh, speaking of waiting for, MoMA, Museum of Modern Art. I don't know what it is. I was there yesterday, Wednesday, at like noon. Like, doesn't anybody work? I mean, the place was packed. And it must have been every member and every tourist was there. And the special exhibit was on Van Gogh. And you actually had to have time tickets just to see that exhibit. So I call that waiting for Van Gogh versus waiting for Godot. Okay. And, oh, come on here with this computer. Come on, come on. Maybe I could, All right. I'm trying to get this. this brownie commercial. I'm trying for anything here. It's doing one of those things with the, you know, the little clock thing. You know, the little timer thing. Is if you click something and you're waiting for it to do something, well, you know, it's still waiting. It's still do, which is terrible because now when somebody calls in, let's see what I could do. Something I could do with this. There's some kind of shit error or something that's telling me. Eat shit and die, man. I mean, like, give me a break. Let's see if I could do this. Let's see if I can, let's see. How am I going to get this done here? Okay. Well, you know, you're all on there. Let's see if I could get back to this. Wow. All right, now I can't even, come on, let's do this. Maybe if I do this from, okay, I'm going to try going to my website. All right, www.
What would you do to earn brownie points?
How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale. Well, I managed to get that that done. Let's see now. Let's see if I can get back to. Okay, let's go back to my little switchboard here. Okay, I got the switchboard up. I know, Mina, you're probably waiting. Okay, let's get you on now. Now you're on the air. Mina.
Hi. Good evening. Hi. Good evening, Merle.
Yeah. Did you have trouble?
No, not really.
In? Oh,
no,
okay.
Not really.
I was just
listening to you.
I was having a little trouble with the connection and whatever, and I'm going, you know, anyway. But now that you're here, all right. So I was introducing you before, and so what we want to talk about is what exactly is Philippine cuisine.
As I've told you before, Philippine cuisine is a cross between Spanish and Chinese because it's a fusion of two cultures. And they are big influence in our cuisine. But you have tasted it and you have given me a feedback that it stands as its own cuisine. And as its own gastronomy, and I'm very flattered that you have given us that kind of, you know, feedback.
So what I want to do, this would be a great thing. I have the menu in front of me. Probably the best way to do this, instead of like trying to describe the cuisine and its influences, because I understand it's got a lot of influences, so
yes,
you know.
Yes.
So why don't we talk about a number of things that I ate, and you can kind of describe it, and tell us like how it's cooked, and so you know, some specialties like what is Quikiam? Quikiam.
Actually that's been invented in my country. And I just tried to tweak it when I came here in the United States because I couldn't find some ingredients, you know, that is really indigenous in our country. But then when, after 10 years or so, most of the ingredients are already available in the market through the Chinese stores. But actually, Quikiam is a concoction of ground pork with some, what do you call this, seafood in it. And spiced up with a little bit of allspice, and we chopped a lot of chopped scallions in it, wrapped in a soybean wrapper, which we called in our country taupe, and
so,
it's been deep fried.
Okay, now when you say like a soya skin, in other words, but we kind of know it, I guess, as bean curd skin? Is that it?
Yeah. It's
okay.
It's a soya skin. A bean curd is different from a soya skin. Because
It is because
I think, because I saw this when I was in my country, there is a factory who produces this. When they boil the extract from the soya bean, they boil it, and it on the top, it creates a film-like, and that's the one they scoop out with long bamboo skewers and let it dry, and that's what we call the soybean wrapper, soybean skin.
Okay. Actually, I'll have to tell you where, but I had actually gone to a restaurant in downtown Flushing.
Yeah.
Where they make this.
Really?
And I watched, well, I couldn't watch them make it, but they have this whole machines and that's starting right from the beans, and it's like,
yeah,
it's fascinating. You know,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can actually go there and buy it freshly
made. Well, I would, if you would tell me where is this, I would love to buy it, you know.
We'll schmooze. Don't worry.
Yeah. But the thing, you know what? The one I'm using is still coming from Hong Kong. So it's still imported.
Great. I got, yeah, all right. All right. So now let's get to, then I had Lumpia Shanghai.
Okay. Lumpia Shanghai is the same, just like the kikim. But the thing is, there's a variation with the ingredients in it. It's what we call this ground pork with water chestnut on it, celery, chopped celery, minced celery, and scallions, onions, seasoned with black pepper, salt, a little bit of soy sauce. And then you mix them up all together, and then you... my husband is so nice that he taught me how to do it, you know, in a fast way, because before the way I do it is really tedious, that he said, why don't you put it on a piping bag? So I put it on a pipe, you know, the piping bag that they use for decorating cake. I put
right.
it there, and it's, you know, it's much easier to just squeeze it on this, this wrapper.
Right.
And then you just roll it up and then cut it into three and deep fry it. There's nothing, there's no mystery on that. But I think, you know, since that we call it Lumpia Shanghai because the wrapper is from indigenous to China, that's why we call it Lumpia Shanghai.
Okay.
It's so funny, right? I told you it's a crossover between Chinese
yeah,
and Philippine cooking.
I see the influences, but in terms of when I've been tasting the food, there's no way that I could say, oh, it tastes like Chinese food.
Yeah, and I'm flattered.
Yeah,
flattered when you were telling me about that.
I've been telling everybody all over the place. Now, let's get to this thing on the noodles. That's you had some really interesting dishes. And I want to comment. You use fresh killed chickens. How come?
Yeah, it's freshly slaughtered chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fresh
because I find
chicken,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as a mother and as a consumer, former consumer, before I became a restaurateur, I find out using those frozen chicken like the Perdue, it doesn't taste the same the way it should be when I was in my country, because in our country we always use freshly slaughtered chicken when we cook anything in chicken. And here, it's not really available at the time. And then I found out that you have this place in Brooklyn that they supply you with freshly slaughtered chicken. Even though it costs a lot, a little bit, than buying those frozen ones,
right.
I won't trade it. I won't trade it for the cheaper one because I want to serve the people with quality. That's my main thing. I want quality. It's not about quantity.
Right. Oh, definitely the quality it's my new favorite restaurant in the neighborhood.
Oh, thank you very much. I thank you very much. Actually, your friend Jack was just here a while ago.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was laughing. He said Mer loves you so much. I said, okay.
I might be there for dinner tomorrow night.
Okay, I'd love to see you around.
But anyway, so let me get back. Let's go back into the food. Okay. Well, okay. What I wanted to ask, like, is are the Philippines like noted for any particular thing, like fish or pork or things like that? Is there any particular type of
in our country? Yeah, because in every country you have this national flower, national fish, national bird. In our country, our national fish is the bangus, which is the milkfish. And I found out that you call it here, even in Europe, they call it the silverfish.
Okay.
And that's the milkfish. And that's, as far as I know, I thought it was just, available in our country, the milkfish. So they said the milkfish or silverfish you see here, it's all imported from my country.
Oh, okay.
So So they were telling me that, because before this interview, I asked someone, I said, okay, where's the milkfish coming from? And they said, it's imported in the Philippines, most of it. See.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't think that's one of the things I haven't eaten. There's not much I haven't, but no.
You try that. Because
I try a lot
Because the thing is, most of the imported ones now, they debone it. They took out the bone because actually milkfish is really bony. It's lots of bones in it. It's tiny and, fine bones. But now I found out that, it's available in the market. That they process it in the Philippines, they cleaned it and they deboned it. They took out all the fine bones, everything. So it's no longer dangerous to eat it.
Okay. Now I want to get into another thing. Like you use like bitter melon. Bitter melon is a thing that's not indigenous, but it's just used a lot in Philippine cuisine?
Yeah, it's used a lot in our cuisine, and I think it was introduced to us by the Chinese also, because I found out that, I think, it's been available in all Asian countries.
Right.
Because I found out that also in India, they're using bitter melon, and also in China, they're using bitter melon. So we have just different ways in using it or cooking it.
Yeah,
and you have said, that the one that you ordered last time was the ginisang ampalaya, which is sauteed the bitter melon, and you were saying that it's nice to serve for breakfast because it's like an omelet.
Yeah.
It has egg in it.
it's if you had an egg dish and you were, you were at an omelet station and you said, give me some bitter lemon in there, bitter melon in there too, and put some shrimp in there too.
Exactly, it won't hurt you. It's healthy. One thing, it is healthy.
Yeah.
And I have a customer who always comes here every day. He said because he has diabetes, and every day that's what he eats. According to him, it lowers down his sugar level.
Right.
The bitter melon. So I said, okay, I'm not, claiming any medical. I'm not claiming any medical. What do you call that? It's on the tip of my tongue. But I mean to say, what it means to say is that medical. Help me out here, bro.
What do you mean? Like it's a medical alert or a.
No, it's not a medical alert because he was claiming that it helps his diabetes.
Oh, it helps his.
Yeah. He said it lowers his sugar level whenever.
Oh,
he
okay.
Has.
The sugar level, like the
his sugar level.
It's like
yeah.
diabetic. He's diabetic. No.
He's diabetic.
He's diabetic. Yeah.
Yeah, he eats bitter melon every day. He comes to the restaurant and orders the same thing over and over again. So I said, you know, are you claiming that it really helps you out? Or, yeah, it does, you know, somehow, he said. So, yeah, bitter melon is good for you, yeah.
Yeah, but what I found, just so people and people who haven't had bitter lemon, I mean, you know, we're talking, you know, you're in New York, and this show's going all over the world, so I'm not, and in case people don't know what bitter melon is, I mean, it's not, it doesn't look like a cantaloupe.
It's not. It's crinkly outside.
Yeah, it looks like, and it's funny, because I have seen it, you know, especially with Queens. I mean, there's every possible cuisine in Queens anyway.
Yes.
So a lot of times, I mean, it's easy to find some place in Queens to buy what you want.
Oh, exactly. You know.
And bitter melon is, they're kind of like, they're small compared to a cantaloupe, right?
No, because bitter melon is elongated. A cantaloupe is round. So I don't think, you know, that
when you have a bitter melon, I'm not thinking of like in the inside. On the inside of the bitter melon, is it the same seeds and stuff or no?
There are seeds inside of it. It's bigger than the cantaloupe seeds.
Oh, okay.
They're bigger. Yeah. So when it comes to the size, you know, cantaloupe are round, this one are elongated. When you come to the restaurant, I'll show you how it looks like, in you know, not cut up.
Uh-huh.
Because I think that you saw it when it's already cut up and served to you. But when you come to the restaurant, I'll show it to you as a vegetable in a raw, you know.
Oh, okay. I have my friend Barbara listens to the show from somewhere out in California. So first of all, I told her I was doing this, and she emailed me saying that she's starving.
But there's a lot of good Filipino restaurants in California.
It's just like, you know, we're talking about food, and she wrote, I had 6 stale Ritz crackers tie me over because I know you're going to torture me with the food segment.
That's funny. Tell her, get out of the house and drive around the city, and she might find something, you know, new for her.
Yeah. She's in Sacramento. That's where she's from.
Oh, Sacramento.
Well, we'll find you a restaurant there. But let's get back to the food. One of the things that I enjoyed, I have to say, one of the many things I enjoyed. The curry, is that it?
Curry, yeah.
Curry.
The oxtail, yeah. That's the oxtail. Isn't it, I asked you the first time how adventurous you are with your food, because some people, they are offended by the term oxtail. So when you said, no, I'm not at all, I want to taste that. So it's an oxtail with peanut sauce on it, and with the, you know, the vegetables like eggplant, the bok choy, and string beans on that. There's nothing, you know, fanciful about that food, but
By the way, I noticed with the string beans, do you always use the long string beans?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you try the, when you come to the restaurant, just ask one next time, just the string beans sautéed with shrimp bun. It's also good. It's healthy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to do that then.
Yeah.
Then there's also your chicken soup. Well, it's not your chicken soup. I mean, it's not
it's
called
the tinola.
Chicken tinola.
Yeah, that's a chicken tinola, yeah.
Yeah, that's chicken soup with ginger, lemongrass, green papaya, and pepper leaves. Now, pepper leaves aren't spicy, right?
They're not. They're not. It's not like the fruit, because the spiciness is always on the fruit. It's not on the leaves.
Right.
So, yeah. Most, you know, growing up in the Philippines, and, you know, all the Filipinos can vouch for me. Whenever we're sick, it's always the tuna. It's just like here in the United States that when you are sick, you know, your mother will cook your chicken soup, right?
Right.
With the noodles in it. In our country, it's the tinola. It's our own chicken soup, as you have said. It's big chunks of chicken. We saute them on garlic, ginger, and onions, and then just put the chicken broth on it.
Right.
And let it boil for a few minutes, and then just drop your vegetables, and you have, voila, a fresh chicken soup.
Well, I understand, but the ginger is very good for you if you're sick.
Yes, it does. You know, it helps your gastro if you have, you know, problems.
Oh, digestive system, yeah.
Yeah, it helps your digestive system. And even though, you know, during cold days, I love ginger tea. So I always have it here in the restaurant.
My friend, when she had the Suriname restaurant, that was one of the things that she always had was a ginger drink.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was asking her when she was here. I was thinking, you know, I didn't realize that she doesn't have the restaurant anymore.
Yeah.
I was asking her where's the restaurant because I was so eager to go to her restaurant and see the Suriname food.
I said,
it's been a long time. It's gone.
Well, you know what I'm going to ask her to do? It'll be very interesting is maybe like that she can make something that you could taste.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that would be, you know, something that's Surinamese, if you want to call it.
You know, I am a person who loves to eat too, but because I've been away from my mom since I was 18, I went to Saudi Arabia, so I have no choice just to eat their food. So
well,
I learned.
Yeah, I know one of the things that, like, there's a, and I think, I'm not sure, I think the Thai restaurants also do this. It's a type of ginger.
Oh, yeah, the
that
yellow
she
ginger?
Uses.
I think it's the yellow ginger.
Yeah, it's called, no, it's not called ginger. I can't think of it. But that's one of the things that instead of, but if she's going to make a ginger drink, it's ginger, but then there's something, there's a vegetable that's a like a ginger. That's
oh,
yeah, well, listen, we'll discuss all this,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
So let's get back to some of the other things here. Now, I noticed, for instance, let's say, now, let's go to the pork dishes.
Yes.
Now, is it very typical that you use any kind of, you know, as long as it's from the pig? Well, you know, I mean, like, but people, you know, it's interesting. It depending on, I guess, the cuisine, the country, or whatever. I mean, like, I'm sorry, but like, I have a friend who's Italian, and there's this thought about people eating a sheep's head.
Oh yeah, I saw that in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, okay.
All right.
I go, okay. You know, so it's not, but I used to joke about with Italian food that I would say if the Italians could take a starfish, if they could figure out how to eat a starfish, they would eat that too. I mean, you know, but.
Okay, somebody will call you back later. Watch out.
But I know.
Yeah,
like,
in our country, we use every part of, you know, every part of the pig, from
right.
the snout to the ears, you know, to the intestines. We use them a lot.
Right.
You know, but since we are here in the United States, we seldom use that because it's not available. But if you are in my country, yes, you will find out that everything, you know, the organs are being used.
Right. Well, yeah. Actually, I would imagine that any place like, even like, let's say, if somebody's going to a Hawaiian luau, they're roasting
yes.
a pig.
Yes.
So you're eating
the
yeah,
whole
every
pig,
part
right?
of the pig, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So
I
would imagine so, and they're probably, you know, whatever they're cleaning out, or you know, when you're taking out the parts of the pig that's not going to be roasted, you're good. It's like, you know, with a chicken, you decide
yes.
what are the innards that you want to cook up.
Yeah,
you know?
Just like the heart, they use the heart. The you know the what else they
the heart,
the
liver, the
yeah.
stomach. I think it's
yeah.
the stomach. I never figured it out. What
anything that's edible, we will
yeah,
eat it, right?
It's, that's right, you know. But I love chicken. I love chicken feet.
I haven't tasted it, but you know, since you said that it's good for a person who's Asian like me and haven't tasted it, it's a shame, right? So
well,
I'm going
yeah,
to Flushing and I'll try it.
Yes, you can't. There's nobody in Woodhaven is making chicken feet. Believe me.
No, they don't. Yeah, so I have to go somewhere where they have it.
Yeah.
So I, you know. I'll have to, maybe Monday, I have a day off. So I will ask my driver to drive me over there and try the chicken feet.
Oh, okay. now, the other thing I want to get to the drinks and the dessert.
Oh, yeah. The sago gulama.
Okay. Well, first let's get to these drinks. One is... that I thought you would, that was interesting that with the melon drink that you're actually shredding a cantaloupe.
Yeah, the cantaloupe. Yeah, it's just a shredded cantaloupe and mixed up with a little bit of, you know, water, sugar, and milk. That's it. There's nothing to it. It's just a simple, you know, cantaloupe. But as I've told you before, in our country, since it's a tropical country, we try to make things, you know, help us out a little bit.
Oh, you want to make
hot
yeah.
weather. So
yes.
we make
yeah.
you. We try to invent drinks that it's out of this world.
Right, and that'll quench your thirst because
yeah,
of the hot weather.
Quench our thirst. Yeah, that's the thing. So I was amazed when I came here today. It's my ignorance that you know when I. came to the United States and I saw people eating cantaloupe, just you know, peeling it off, and I said, "Oh, how does it taste just like that without the milk and the sugar?" That is so funny.
Depending on where you go, it's like you know, like the first time people saw people taking a slice of pizza and folding it up
yes.
and eating it. Was weird, you know. But so, you know. But now, but let's say with the melons, you also like with the melons that are in the Philippines.
Yes.
Beside cantaloupe, do you have other melons?
Yeah, the watermelon. We have the watermelon. We have that.
And the honeydew.
The honeydew, it's not much. We don't
okay.
have that. It's
what do you have? Like
I found the honeydew.
Crenshaw
yes.
or things like that. Crenshaw.
No, I don't know now because there are a lot of things being introduced in my country.
Oh, okay.
But before, when I left in the country 20 years ago, there are only two melons that I have seen in the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cantaloupe and the watermelon.
So
I don't know at this point.
How would you
in
eat
time.
The watermelon? Would you shred the watermelon?
No. We're slicing just like you do here.
I can't imagine trying to shred watermelon.
No.
Okay.
Now, isn't it they're making that into a juice? When
yeah,
I was in Saudi Arabia, because when I was in Saudi Arabia, they used to, you know, they used the watermelon, they juice it, and it's good.
Yeah.
And it's good.
It's very good for you. But so
yeah.
let's get into the other one, the sago gulaman?
And gulaman.
Yeah. Gulaman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Describe it.
Oh, you love it, right? Very much.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. The base for that is just, you know, a... syrup.
It's a banana extract or banana syrup?
No. Syrup is the just a brown, dark brown sugar. And
okay.
And then you just drop a little drop of banana essence. And then the sagoy is just the pearl bowls that you see. And then the gulaman is what we call, as far as I know, it's extracted from a seaweed. It's based from seaweed. It's extracted and then processed. It's
right.
Just like a jello, but it's different from
right.
jello.
Well, when I describe it to people, I say it's kosher jello. I mean, actually, because when you buy jello,
yeah.
jello comes from, I guess, a pig's hoof.
Oh, yeah? Uh-oh.
When you get jello, when it's not kosher, it's coming from an animal.
All right.
The gelatin comes from an animal.
Okay.
So what happens if you get, like, a kosher jello, or if you get, like, if you want to call a vegetarian jello.
You call mine a vegetarian jello because it's an extract from a seaweed.
Right, and that's why when you're getting when you're buying some gelatin,
yeah,
if either get it vegetarian or kosher, but both of them, you know, that means neither of them are coming from an animal, as opposed to gelatin.
You didn't
know that, did you?
No, I did not. Now I learned
That's
something
okay.
from you, and I think I will not use gelatin. You scared me now.
No, I mean, just you can use it. You know, people have been eating jello for years, and no one realizes it.
I didn't realize exactly.
That it's from an animal, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for the info.
Yeah. So, and then you put the crushed ice and
the crushed ice, and then voila, you
That's
have the
it.
Instant drink that you love so much.
Yeah.
But sometimes my husband keeps making a joke. He said, "You know what? You're making all these people here to be diabetic." Because he said, that's a sweet drink. I said, yeah, and they love it. And, you know, I kept telling them, you know, you have to have it only once a month.
Yeah.
Not daily.
It's very sweet. But listen, people, come on. I mean, people, you know, how much soda do people drink?
Exactly.
How much soda
they drink, yeah.
Really.
That's pure sugar they're taking in.
All right. Now we got, speaking of sweet, let's get to...
The
dessert.
The hollow, huh?
Yeah, the hollow.
Okay.
You've got to describe this. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hollow. It's a concoction of sweet, sweet beans with shredded young coconut. And I put a twist on that. I put shredded cantaloupe on it. And I find out people love it. Because you said it's different from the traditional halo that they have. And then you put crushed ice on it, top with, and of course you have your milk, and you top it with a leche flan.
Leche flan, right.
Yeah, that's the flan. And
right.
if you want it to be really special, I will give it to you in a big bowl, the same procedure with two scoops of ice cream, which are imported because they are young coconut ice cream, which are produced in our country, and also with a purple yam on it. And I find out that you love it so much, right?
Ah, yes. And it's
so
definitely,
that's how it is.
Yeah, it's a lot of dessert.
It's a lot of dessert, you know.
People
tend to share the big bowl, special one. Yeah, they always, you know, ask for extra spoons because they said, I cannot finish this big one. But they're just fascinated by how it looks like and how big it is. So that's why when I serve it to other tables, they tend to, okay, after my dinner or after my lunch, can I have that big bowl of whatever is that?
I would call it the equivalency of going to Jan's. You know, have you heard of Jan's? You must have Jan's Ice Cream Parlor.
Oh, I haven't been there yet.
Oh, Jan's
but,
Ice Cream.
They say that it's like serendipity, though.
Well, Jan's Ice Cream Parlor has been around for many, many years, and I think there might be still one left. And
where is it?
It's an ice cream parlor.
Yeah, where is it located?
I'm trying to think if there's any left in New York.
Oh, yeah?
I'm trying to remember. But it was more of a New York phenomenon than anything else. But
really?
One of the things that you went to Jan's for is,
yeah.
I mean, they had all kinds of concoctions of sundaes. And they had one that they called the kitchen sink.
Oh, yeah?
And you'd have like 9 people sharing
really?
It. But it's really, really huge. But this is what I call the equivalency.
The equivalent.
Of having like the kitchen sink. But not that big.
Boy.
I mean, not much tinier, but with all these different things in it, you know.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I just control myself not to have one. Because it's really, because I have to hold up myself with all those goodies here. I always make it for other people, and I said to myself, I need one. And then later on I realize, you know, no, you don't need it. I talk myself out of not doing it.
But then you have this other dessert called Turon à la mode.
Oh, the Turon à la mode. It is,
yeah.
You know, the in our country we have this native banana, which we call sabah. And, of course, we cannot find it here in the United States, and we find the equivalency of the plantain. So the best way to do it is to have really a very ripe plantain, because if you use just the yellow plantain,
right.
It will not turn out right because it's still hard.
Right.
So you have to use this very ripe yellow plantain, cut it up, and you put in the middle, sand. You cut it up into lengthwise, and then you put jackfruit. I showed to you what the jackfruit
right.
is. And I hope that your listeners know what the jackfruit is.
They probably don't. And that's okay. You know what they need to do then?
Yeah.
Google the word jackfruit.
Yeah, thanks to Google. They would know. Okay.
Okay, it's a sweet fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, I think, you know, even in South America, they have that. Because
mm-hmm.
I've seen one. My friend, she brought home from South America jackfruit, and I asked her how it passed the immigration, that fruit. And
right.
she said it was inside the box. Okay, I said.
So
anyway, we're
yes.
just go back to Turon à la mode. It's just
yes.
made of a plantain with jackfruit wrapped on this lumpia wrapper, and then deep fry it. And then when it's done, when it's golden brown, you put it on a paper towel just to absorb the oil in it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
and
serve it with that ice cream, huh?
Yes.
That
with
coconut ice cream.
Ice cream. It's your choice if you want the purple yum or the young coconut ice cream.
Mm.
Oh, gosh. And I also want to mention, you know, everything that's going on in my restaurant right now.
Yeah, tell me, yeah.
Because of my kitchen partner, June, you know, things.
Uh-huh.
As you have met June, right? My chef.
Yes.
My kitchen partner, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I want to mention his name. That, you know,
Without
him, I won't be able to do this thing.
He's
so
a wonderful
chef.
Thank you,
June. Yeah, he is. He's a very wonderful guy, and I'm just lucky to have good stuff.
Yeah, I'm lucky too to have you in the neighborhood.
Well, okay, we have a mutual admiration party going on right
okay.
here.
and by the way, unless my friend Barbara, she's I don't see her on the switchboard now, which means she probably. Well, she didn't get off.
To look for something to eat.
Yeah, she probably said, I can't take it anymore. I got to eat. I joke with her because I purposely play, because I have this particular commercial about this brownie. And the brownie.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I just heard that brownie. What's this? That brownie commercial that you were mentioning.
Yes.
I said, oh, boy. Now I said, my children were asking me to bake some brownies, and then they were saying, since you opened the restaurant, you forget about your baking mom. I said, I'm so sorry, kids. Let me, you know, it means to say, I said, you still have to wait for another 2 years for me to be in our own kitchen, because right now I'm too busy, you know, making
right.
This restaurant to work out. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wanted, well, we, you know, we got to get to the point where, you know, like people are hanging out the door.
Yes.
You know, I'm sorry, you'll have to wait for a table.
Well, it almost happened last Sunday. You wouldn't believe it. You know, I have long tables. We arranged long tables 4 times inside the restaurant. And I was saying to myself, oh, my God, where am I going to put these people? No.
Well, you know, what you need to do is you have to think about that this is a strong possibility of the situation. But don't get yourself crazy. I mean, don't say, oh, I have to rush, you know, and rush and rush, and then make it so it's not an enjoyable thing for you to be doing. I mean,
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, but because people will, you know, people will wait if they want the food. When they
exactly.
Work it, they'll wait. They'll say, I'll wait the hour. I mean, people do that. So let them wait if they have to.
Yeah, I know.
For a table,
because
because
there was this gentleman who came in, and then he was just alone, and he saw the crowd, and he said, I was about to have dinner here, and there's a lot of people. Anyway, can I just order to go? We were laughing. I said, he just wants to order to go.
Well, then, he'll be back. He'll be back when it's a little less crowded.
Well, he came back the following day.
Oh, he did?
He did.
Oh,
he was here.
Good, I'm glad. Well, are you still open right now?
Yeah, and right now, do you believe it? Where am I right now? Because it's too busy upstairs. I'm in the basement. So if you can hear the whirling thing, it's the motor of my, walk-in cooler.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm in the basement right now.
You know what you should, I mean, when you're, do you have, like, access to walk upstairs?
We do.
Take the phone and go upstairs. Go ahead. Bring it upstairs. And if there's anybody eating, this is so much fun. If there's anybody eating, just tell them to say hello. Bring the phone.
I have to go upstairs now and ask people to say hello.
Just say hello and you don't have to tell them. Don't tell them they were on the air.
Okay, let me see.
Just kind of just, you know.
Just hold on.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, just a sec. There's a family here. Okay.
Oh, okay. Just tell them to say hello
Hold on. Just say hello.
Hello to this
Hi.
Person.
Hi.
Say hello to this person. Okay.
What are you eating?
Oh, I'm still trying. Oh, I'm on the air. Okay. my husband and my son and my nephew here. He came all the way from New Mexico. He's gonna stay with us, and he loves Filipino food. And he missed it so much. So they're ordering kare kare and sisig, and this fried chicken thing. And I'm still undecided what to order.
Oh, you haven't? I couldn't even tell you where to begin. Everything is good.
Right.
Everything is
good.
So even to tell you what to order is just,
right.
But make sure when it comes to dessert, have the halo halo.
Oh, of course.
Have the halo halo, and you can
and
share it. Yes, it's really good.
Yes, it's good. Right. So what about the main dish? What did you order before? Maybe that will give you an idea.
Well, a couple of things I liked. I liked the kara kara.
Yeah,
the
that's
oxtail.
What we're ordering now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're ordering that.
Yeah.
I love the soup, the chicken soup. The chicken tinola.
Oh, tinola. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I had that last Sunday. I was here last Sunday.
It's like once you have it, like, I think I'll go back there and eat.
Definitely. Right.
Yeah. It's,
okay. Anything else you ate? Maybe aside from the tinola and the kare kare.
Oh, what did I have? I tried, let's see. I'm looking at it. Well, I had the ampalaya.
The ampalaya.
I had the sauteed
ampalaya.
Yeah, I was having. Because I had something with the bitter melon because I wanted to taste that.
That's very good for diabetics. You know that? Did you know
that?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, there are things I haven't tried yet. Believe it or not.
Oh, okay. Very good.
What's your name, by the way?
My name is Edna Chang.
Edna Chang. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're the Chang family. We're all here.
Oh, great. That's fabulous.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall I switch you over to
Mia? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Good talking to
you. Do you have any other questions?
Oh, no. I just, wanted to talk to people sitting there.
Okay, very good.
Yeah,
nice
anybody
talking
else
to you
if
too.
Anybody else wants to, you know, talk, that's fine.
Oh, okay. Just a moment, please.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi, yeah.
Okay.
Now she's got her 5 minutes of fame.
Oh, she did, right.
Yeah.
And you're putting me up for almost an hour now.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I all right, I'm going to let you go. Let me let you go so you can finish up there. Go back to work.
Yes. Okay, thank you for the time, and thank you for the very good write-up that you're giving me for your
Glad you enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. And my husband is very proud, and you know what he did when I mentioned that, you know. He knows about this interview, right? He told everyone in his office that everyone has to listen that I'm being interviewed. I don't know if they're, you know, on the
I'll be able to tell you if anybody. I'll tell you in a minute. I can't tell yet. If you know, how many people have
tuned in?
I've tuned in, but I will be able to tell. But anyway, so let me let you go because you're going to be closing soon.
Yeah, I don't have still people here.
Okay. And I'll see you tomorrow then.
Yes, thank you very much again, and I really appreciate that. Okay.
Sure. Okay,
good night.
Mina. Yeah.
Good night.
Good
and
night.
Have a pleasant evening. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Yes, I will definitely go back there tomorrow. Okay, I'm going to take a break here. Let me find this here. Dolly Parton's got some new album out, and I think did I upload it? Oh, yeah, that's funny. I didn't get a chance. I didn't actually upload it. Well. I forgot. I'll have to do that for next week. So let's, but I'm in the mood for a song. Let's see. Well, I like this one. It's a calm song. Please, nobody fall asleep, please. I'll still talk. Don't worry about it.
A child named Bernadette. I heard the story long ago. She saw the Queen of Heaven once and kept the vision in her soul.
I know you're the host of the show. I understand. I got it.